Good morning. Have you ever wondered how different our world would be if certain events had never taken place? For example, what if Lee had won at Gettysburg? What difference would it have made if Mr. Lincoln or John Kennedy had survived their assassin's bullet? How about the ships of Columbus? What if they had gone down in the Atlantic? Of course, history cannot be replayed or rewritten. These thoughts are only fantasies, but it is easy to see what might have been. Over 2,000 years ago, a baby was born in a small Judean village to humble parents, and the world has never been the same since. Think of the impact Jesus has had. What difference his coming has made. History is pivoted on this special event. Even time is measured by his birth. In this country, our educational system was tremendously influenced by Jesus. Harvard University, the oldest school in America, had its beginning when a preacher willed his library to a group to train preachers. A Presbyterian preacher started Princeton. Oxford and Cambridge were begun by two preachers. Yale was started by those who believed Jesus' coming was the most important truth in the world. Think of the influence Christ has made on art, literature, and music. In fact, there are not many things in our world that his coming has not touched. What if Jesus never came? Does that thought give you a sickening feeling? Does it scare you more than just a little bit? The more we trust in him, the more of our life we have turned over to him, the more we've made him the Lord and King of our life, the more hopeless this feeling is if he had never come. But what if Jesus had never come? Well, first, without Jesus, we would have no hope. In fact, we today would be twice hopeless. Ever think of that? I mean, we as Gentiles are twice removed from God, by sin and by lineage. Talk about being in double jeopardy, that's us. Here's the good news. Because Jesus came, no one is under the law of Moses. Jesus came fulfilling every jot, every tittle of the law. That is, he fulfilled every minute detail. He nailed it to the cross. He absolved that which kept man and God separated. Now the Jews are no longer separated from God because of their sins, but are now under grace through faith. Listen to Romans 5, 1 and 2. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only did the coming of Jesus abolish the law, but it made possible the sonship of us as Gentiles. Listen as I read from Ephesians 2, 11 through 13. Wherefore, remember that you being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes were afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. So, the real question is, how to determine sonship with God? That's what we all want, isn't it? To be children of God, children of the Father, to have a relationship with Him, to enjoy the hope that is part of a right relationship. The hope is the promise of heaven. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you into myself, that where I am, there you may be also. John 14, 3 and 4. As the book of Revelation closes, Jesus said, "Behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me." Then, verse 14 of chapter 22, "Blessed are those who wash their robes, that they may have the right to the tree of life, and may go through the gates into the city." Now that's what I want, a right to the tree of life, to live in God's presence, to live in God's holy city for eternity. This is what we all want, isn't it? So now, who are the children of God today? Who can have a right to live in heaven and eat of the tree of life? If you can't determine sonship by lineage, by heritage, how is it done? How do we become children of God today? Paul tells us in Galatians 3, "Listen, you are all the sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have put on Christ, or have been clothed with Christ. Galatians 3:26-27. Verse 26 tells us what makes us children of God, what makes us pleasing to God, faith. Then verse 27 tells us when we become His children by faith, at baptism. This is the time we are put into Christ, clothed with Christ. Now here it is, friends. The first time we sin, we become hopelessly lost. Without Jesus' coming, our sins separated us from God. And that separation cannot be healed without the blood of Christ. Without Jesus, there is no hope. Are you a child of God by faith? Are you in Christ through baptism? There is no hope for those outside of Christ. Secondly, without Jesus, we would not know how to live. John 10 and verse 10, Jesus says, "I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly." The Greek is perissos. The word means above the common, above the average, above the normal, above the ordinary. This word is used 10 times in the Greek New Testament and is translated more, beyond measure, more abundantly, exceedingly. Question: does this sound like the life you're interested in having this morning? Is this a life we would really like to live? I think so. I wish we could stop seeing Christianity as only a pie-in-the-sky religion. It is great to have that hope in heaven, but there's more to our relationship to God than just the future. There is more. For instance, Acts 2, verse 46 tells us that first church was made up of people with what? Glad hearts. They lived a smile on their face existence. Someone says, but everything was going right for them. Not so. Look at Acts 5, verse 41. They rejoiced, counted it all joy that they were counted worthy to suffer for Jesus. James says, count it a joy when you are called to suffer, when you fall into different trials. Peter says, in this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief and all kinds of trials, for you are receiving the goal of your faith, that is, the salvation of your souls. Friends, they lived with a smile, and they were willing to die with a smile. How can I have a life like that? Where do we find the answer to this abundant life question? I believe Jesus gives us the answer in the Sermon on the Mount. You see, in the Sermon on the Mount, in Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7, and you need to take time to read that, Jesus taught that happiness comes from being pure in heart, from mourning our sins, being meek, loving righteousness, always wanting what is right, showing mercy, having a pure motive in all that we do, keeping peace as much as possible, being morally right, not hating our brother, controlling our lust, not being revengeful, loving our enemies, not being a hypocrite, praying, fasting, prioritizing our life, putting God and the church first, not judging others, asking for God's help in building life on the solid ground of Bible truth. Are we willing to live by these simple principles, or do we think them to be too hokey for our modern world? We can never be genuinely happy, can never know the fullness of this life until we allow Jesus to show us how to live. Will we let Jesus set the standards for us to live by? Or will we just go on letting this world set our standards and continue to be disappointed with life and its everyday results? Indeed, if Jesus had never come, we would not know how to live above the world and its circumstances. Indeed, our faith in Jesus coming is the victory that overcomes the world. Thirdly, without Jesus, there could be no fresh starts, no new beginnings. What blessings that those in Christ can enjoy. Faith, repentance, baptism brings us to a new beginning. We arise to walk in a new life, Romans 6:3-4. Sins can be forgiven, guilt being removed. The past is done, gone, it's through forever. And here's the best part. This new beginning can be a reoccurring event for a Christian. Once you're a Christian, repentance and confession, acknowledgement of our sins and prayer bring about a new start any time and every time we go to God in prayer. There's no limit to God's forgiveness. God is not keeping score. His grace is deep and wide. His grace is unlimited. At this point in the lesson, some are ready to say, "Steve, if it's all that simple, why are people everywhere not coming to Jesus? I mean, if our hope for today and the future is in Jesus, if the good life is living by Jesus' principles, if forgiveness is an everyday occurrence, why do people reject Him?" Well, I believe I can answer this question quickly and plainly. Jesus is rejected today because He emphasized the spiritual above the material. God calls us to be spiritualists, not materialists. People love things more than God. The Jews missed their Messiah, the one they looked forward to for hundreds of years, because they were focused on a material, temporal, earthly kingdom. We miss Him, reject Him today for the same reason. We must simply listen to Jesus. "My kingdom is not of this world. My kingdom is not about physical things, but spiritual concepts." Secondly, Jesus is rejected today because He calls us to leave religious customs, traditions, prejudices, and compromise. Christ came teaching the pure Word of God, not Jewish tradition or customs, and it cost Him popularity. It cost Him His life. He asked His people to leave their prejudice and compromise of truth. He called their hand at lip service instead of genuine spirit and truth worship. Friends, we must place a premium on truth and proper motive. Bible truth before mom and dad truth. Bible truth before church creed. Jesus is still saying to us this morning, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Sanctify them by thy truth, for thy word is truth." John 17:17. Jesus is rejected today because He is simple. His teachings were simple. His concept of Christianity was simple. The Sermon on the Mount is a prime example of this simplicity. But God's commandments have always been simple. Adam and Eve, don't eat of the tree. Noah and family, prepare an ark. Abraham, leave your homeland to a place that I'll show you. Joshua, march around the walls of Jericho 13 times. Naaman, dip 7 times in the Jordan River. Those on Pentecost, repent and be baptized. Friends, here's the bottom line this morning. If you've not responded to the coming of Jesus into the world to save us, then for all practical purpose, for you, it is as if He had never come. Become a child of God this morning by faith, repentance, confession, and baptism. Enjoy the hope He provides. Live the life He came to make known. Experience the fresh start, the new beginning that He makes possible. Friends, we want to help you in your steps toward becoming a child of God. If you have any needs, please let us know. We love you and care for you. Until next week, may God bless and keep you.